This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. It's no secret that Michigan has an incredible wealth of craft beers and breweries. But while the microbrew industry is booming, it's obvious that it's lacking in diversity, from brewmasters to brewery owners. That is changing. We do know some part owners and brewers who are Black. But it struck us that the state's first fully Black-owned brewery is set to release its first beer next week. For now, Black Calder Brewing is contracting with a couple of other West Michigan breweries. But next year, they hope to have their own brick-and-mortar location to, as they put it, make dope beer for dope people. With us today are the co-founders, Jamal Ewing and Terry Rostick. Jamal, Terry, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, can I just ask each of you, what beer was it that made you a craft brew nut? Terry, do you want to start?
Yeah, no, I can answer that easy. I've been drinking beer for a very long time. Dirty Bastard was one from Founders that really kind of turned me on to a lot of different craft beers. And, you know, at Brewery Vervant, they had like Wizard Burial Grounds. You know, I really found myself drawn to like some of these big, big beers that were bourbon aged because they were just so, they're just so flavorful, right? You had the bourbon notes, you had some chocolate notes in some of these things. So I'd have to say Dirty Bastard probably was my gateway. And of course, everybody tries Oberon. I don't think you can count Corona as craft beer, but you know, I used to like those back in the day too.
We can talk about Corona. There's no shame here. How about you, Jamal?
I'd probably say Two Hearted. You know, I'm more of an IPA guy. So, like the, you know, the hazy craze that's going on right now too, so we definitely want to put some of those out, but I'm more of an IPA guy than a stout for sure.
Can you tell us about some of the places where you learned important things about brewing?
Yeah, I can answer that. When I learned a lot of about brewing from, you know, my friends at Brevant, you know, Chris and Jason and Jacob, some of their head brewers and people there, you know, I would just hang around that place a lot and, you know, just soak up knowledge and do the beer tours. You know, I started reading books and bought some beer kits. You know, I joke sometimes, I tell people my passion for craft brewing started with Kool-Aid. You know, I used to be mixing up Kool-Aid in the kitchen and trying all these flavors, throwing fruits and things in them and just doing some crazy stuff until my dad shut that down. I think one day I wasted about a gallon of Kool-Aid. He was like, all right, you just make what it says on the package. But flavors, you know, is really just what's drawing me into craft beer and stuff like that. So
I'm a little bit newer, obviously, than Terry is. But, you know, in terms of homebrewing, you know, same thing. Started out with kits. And over the last year or so, I had a little bit of interaction with Eagle Monk in Lansing. I was able to brew with him a couple of times and get some pointers and tips. So that's been definitely a big help.
So here we are in 2020, and you guys are getting your venture off the ground. The first product off the line is Black IPA with a release date of, wait for it, Black Friday. Will you tell us about this beer?
Yeah, so Black Calder Black IPA, it's a 7% ABV Black IPA. We use Mosaic and Idaho 7 in a dry hop. So you'll get some chocolatey notes, a little bit of roast in there, and it'll finish off with some citrus. So a lot of the feedback that we've been getting so far has been great. You know, people are loving it, and we hope everybody loves it on Black Friday.
Why was this the beer that you wanted to launch with?
That's Jamal's baby. I'll just say that. It was one of the first ones that we brewed together, and Jamal loved it. And they're a tough beer to make. You know, Black IPAs aren't very easy. You know, you can't really hide too much in there. And, you know, you also have a certain crowd. But, you know, Black Calder, Black IPA, Black Friday, you know, we had this great event that was going to be lined up. We called it the Blackish Friday, where we were going to have some beers on draft, have some Cajun food, and, you know, just have a really good time to have people come in and pick up merch. And then we had a shutdown that just happened because, of course, why not? It's 2020. So, you know, we've had to pivot. And so we're doing pre-sales today, actually at noon. Our pre-sales will be live, and then it'll be a pickup for Black Friday.
I've heard people say that if you can manage it, a recession, counterintuitive though it may seem, that a recession can be a fantastic time to start a business. I was just curious, what's your experience with that?
I say those people probably like pain. I mean, you know, starting a business is hard in great times, you know, and it gets even more difficult in, you know, times that aren't as good. But, you know, you do learn a lot about yourself. And, you know, this is where your character shines. You know, we had this plan of having our brick and mortar and, you know, having our own place to brew and, you know, just do some really cool things. And, you know, when 2020 hit, it was like, okay, well, the restaurant industry became uncertain. And I don't think anybody's ever built a business plan that was, you know, designed with 50% occupancy or even less, or, you know, only outdoor seating. So, you know, we really had to pivot and adjust, and, you know, and I think that's like the true spirit of an entrepreneur is, you know, you just have to adjust. So, you know, contract brewing through Vervant has just been a great option for us. It's something we really never considered in the past, but just with the way 2020's gone and, you know, we've had all these great ideas and we wanted to get our beer out. We just didn't want to delay it anymore. So this just gives us a great interim as we, you know, we look forward to late 2021 getting our own building.
Yeah. It's never particularly easy for Black entrepreneurs to get small business loans. Was it difficult getting access to capital?
Well, StartGarden helped us a lot. You know, when we won the 100 ideas from StartGarden, that was great. You know, that gave us some free capital. Basically, you know, we won the $20,000. And, you know, that just helped us out with a lot because we've had some growing pains. And, you know, I don't think if we didn't have that money, I don't know if we'd even be here today.
Just for those who don't know, StartGarden is this business accelerator that helps businesses all over Western Michigan.
I mean, it really helped. I mean, we spend a lot of our own capital. You know, if it's 401ks, I mean, I've put a lot into getting this off the ground. So to have a beer today was, you know, I kind of got a little emotional, you know, just to see our beer coming through the can line because it's been a grind.
Yeah. What is the plan for this, for eventually getting a storefront of your own? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So, you know, what we really want to do is we want to transform a neighborhood. You know, that's been very important to Jamal and I, is just being great community members. What you find in a lot of these breweries are, you know, when they're tucked in neighborhoods, it just brings the neighborhood to life, right? It's a walking place where people can gather and commune and, you know, have, you know, great beer and food. And that's the atmosphere that we want to create, you know, something where our kids, you know, I got two young kids, Jamal has two young kids. So, you know, we're not looking to make a bar, you know, we want to have just a brewery. You know, breweries are very different than bars. You know, cause they're family friendly. They're a craft, you know, they're a passion. Basically people who are in this industry are pouring their dreams in the glass for you to drink, you know, and I'm so excited for people to kind of drink our dream here in another week. I hope they like it because we do.
If you're just joining us, my guests today are Terry Rostick and Jamal Ewing. They're the co-founders of a brand new brewery in Grand Rapids. It's called Black Calder. Have you been eyeballing any specific neighborhoods in the area?
You know, in the very beginning, we really wanted to stay in the 49507 area. You know, it was a predominantly, you know, Black neighborhood that needed some investment. You know, there's no secret that there's been a lot of investment in Grand Rapids, but, you know, it hasn't normally been in the Black neighborhoods, and we thought this would be a great opportunity. But, you know, Jamal and I have just really been open up to a lot of different options. You know, at this point, we're taking our time and really just picking the right location that's going to not only transform a neighborhood, hopefully, but just give us the best opportunity to, you know, get our craft out to the most folks.
Yeah. Jamal, you had a really interesting quote in the press release that talked about why you two had wanted to take this on. And you mentioned that there were definitely beers that you were into and companies that you guys were kind of friends with, but that you didn't see your culture reflected in the brands that are out there. And it's kind of interesting because beer is a medium. It certainly reflects what people want to drink. But there are 1,000 forms that expression can take in a business, from the art that you use on your labels to the branding, the places and people that you market to. Terry, what are some things that you guys have talked about that, you know, things that you want to do or ways that this brand is going to look and feel different to folks?
Yeah, so, you know, we're definitely going to bring in, you know, some of that hip hop culture that we both grew up in and were immersed in. You know, you don't see that in a lot of craft breweries around here. You know, even our first art label for our can release, you know, is an iconic, you know, kind of fan art of a iconic vibe photo that had like Tupac and Dre and Snoop and Suge Knight when they're in their prime. You know, we plan on kind of bringing just that edginess and some of that hip hop culture that we grew up in. But we're also, you know, outside of hip hop culture, you know, Jamal and I were raised in very strong Black family households. And so, you know, we want to also highlight some of the other things outside of hip hop that makes the African-American community special. So, you know, we talked about, you know, making some beers that have coffees from Ethiopia and Africa, and, you know, and Jamal did a lot of studying and, you know, he can tell you about Egyptian brewing and all of that cool stuff. So, you know, we really want to bring a lot of culture and art and, you know, hip hop and just all the things that, you know, that make, that makes our culture special, that everybody likes and shares. And, you know, sometimes folks still, but, you know, we're sharing it.
Oh my gosh, that's true. Egypt is the birthplace of beer.
Yeah. So like Terry mentioned, that's one of the things that I, you know, kind of learned along this journey is, you know, the origin of beer came from Egypt. You know, the Mesopotamians actually made, I guess, the first alcoholic substance, but it was more like oatmeal. You know, it wasn't an actual liquid that we drink today, but the Egyptians kind of got that recipe and modified it a little bit and made it into, you know, more of a liquid beverage that we drink today. So our logo is actually based off of a South African beer goddess, Mbaba Mwamawarse. And she was the Zulu goddess for beer.
You guys, I'm still stuck on alcoholic oatmeal.
Kind of kill two birds with one stone, right? You get full and you get a little imbibe.
Seriously, though, this has been a year in which Grand Rapids Black community has found some new gears. I think some people, but not everybody, were surprised to see the presence that came out for the Black Lives Matter marches. There's been some real solidarity and mutual aid among Black-owned businesses out of necessity. And not to mention, I think people might be aware, although this is going back maybe a little more than a year, there was a conversation that went on at Founders Brewery because of one of their Black employees who was really not comfortable with the culture of the place. I just wondered what you've observed about the community maybe coming into its own in a little different way in 2020. I don't want to understate what a difficult year this has been for everybody, but what's your experience of where people's heads are and where they're putting their energy right now?
I think it's been an eye-opening experience for some who just never realized maybe some of the struggles that people go through that don't look like them, you know, and that's from every side, you know, and that's kind of colorblind, you know, and as you think about, you know, the craft brew industry, you know, I have friends at Founders, you know, I know the owner of Founders, you know, I know some people there, I know a lot of people there, everybody that I've met and all the people in all of these breweries, you know, from City Built to Vervant to, you know, Speciation, I mean, everywhere. And I just think there's just an awareness and an acceptance and just like people know there needs to be inclusion and it's just not going to happen naturally. It has to be intentional because if you don't intentionally try to include, you're going to inattentionally exclude folks. And so, you know, the craft brew industry is really paying attention to that.
Were there any people of color who you were able to talk with or just even who sort of helped you see yourself and what you wanted to do and what might be possible when you were learning?
Yeah, so one of the big things for me was going to the Fresh Fest in 2018, the first Black Beer Fest over in Pittsburgh. And we met a lot of Black brewers there, you know, just to be able to see, you know, a lot of Black people just enjoying beer and brewing beer, something I hadn't seen before.
Yeah, and we get dubbed as, you know, the first fully Black-owned brewery, but, you know, Black people have had a lot of contributions to the craft beer industry before us, you know, and we obviously want to pay homage to that. You know, there's been tons of Black people who have been brewers that have, you know, worked in these pubs who have, you know, I wouldn't say integrated, but, you know, they were holding it down way before we ever knew what craft beer was. So, you know, to me, this is shared by everybody. You know, we like to pay homage to the folks who came before us and they're currently doing it and doing it at a high level. So,
I mean, it's hard to set goals at a time like 2020, where there's so much uncertainty, as you alluded to, and there's not a lot that we can say for sure about what kind of products people want or whether they're going to be able to have, you know, brand experiences the same way that they have in the past. What's important to you? What are your goalposts as you get into next year?
I can tell you what my goal is at 12 o'clock is to try to sell out of 80 cases of beer. That's my first goal. But, you know, our goal is just to, you know, to get open, you know, get a brick and mortar, you know, keep everybody safe. You know, safety is important. And, you know, hopefully vaccines come about and we can gather like we're used to, you know. But, you know, our goal is just to stay constant, work on partnerships, continue pushing the envelope and just bringing our flair to the industry.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's really just about the beer. I mean, diversity and inclusion is a part of it, obviously. It's something we want to see more in the Michigan craft industry, but and in the industry as a whole. But at the end of the day, you know, we got to make a great product that people love, and hopefully we can keep doing that.
Guys, one last question. I'm a Belgian girl in an IPA world. No disrespect to Ninkasi or anybody. But tell me about some of the other beers that you want to make down the road. What do you got for me?
So, yeah, we're definitely going to make some sour beers. We've played around with some of those before. We were going to do a collaboration here, which we'll probably still do eventually. But we were going to do this kiwi vanilla sour. I'm into the huge stouts. You know, that's what got me into the game is like, you know, big, darker, heavier beers that really just kind of made me like, yo, I love craft beer. So I have a big Russian Imperial Stout that I want to make. You know, we got another beer in the tank right now, which is just a regular stout, but I call it the Bougie S'more Stout. It's going to have, yeah, very bougie, right? It reminds me of my little sister, but, you know, and all these craft beers, you know, they all have stories, right? But, you know, it's when we were sitting outside and having a fire around the house, we were making s'mores and, you know, marshmallow, graham cracker. And then all of a sudden this dark chocolate Reese came out of somewhere. So that's what this beer is. It's like dark chocolate, peanut butter, marshmallow, and graham cracker. So I call it the bougie s'more because it was just so kind of like extra and over the top. So, you know, we got some cool things we want to do and get into ciders. We've also talked about possibly distilling in the future as we, you know, we label down our beers. You know, lagers, IPAs. Now that I know we have a Belgian beer fan, maybe we'll explore some of those.
Well, I don't presume to disrupt the creative process in any way. Everything you just mentioned sounds like something I would want to drink. Guys, congratulations and good luck for your first year of sales.
Thank you. Cheers.
Terry Rostick and Jamal Ewing are the co-founders of Black Calder.